Church in El Cajon, and there's a bunch of people meeting right now, so we want to say hello to them. Let's all greet them real quick. How y'all doing? And we have people watching online, so we want to welcome all of them. And any visitors here today? Visitors here today, first time. Let's welcome all the visitors. God bless y'all. God bless you. Okay, all campuses, I want to ask you to do one thing. I want to ask all of y'all to get out of your seat and let's get on our knees. Let's get on our knees. Now, before we bow our heads and pray, I have a question for you. Whenever I go speak places, I always do an assessment in my mind of, you know, who's there and what they're there for. I was at a men's conference Friday night, and where was I at? Oh, Florida, Daytona Beach, Florida. Sorry. I forgot. I was in another city before that, the day before. But anyway, I was there, and you know, it was a men's conference, Promise Keepers. So it was, okay, this is men, and I was there to do the salvation message. And so a lot of times when I go, I'll tell the people in the audience why I'm there, just so we're on the same page, because I could be there for one reason, and they're there for another. So I say, here's what I think y'all are here for, and then am I right or wrong? And then we all agree, so we're all on the same page. And so I want to do that today, and I want to ask you a question. How many of you would really want God to use you for something supernatural? Raise your hand. Okay. Very good, very good. And when I say supernatural, I mean a miracle. I mean something that science can't explain, man can't explain, and only God can explain, and you can't explain. It just, God used you, and it happened, and it was real, and you couldn't explain it. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. In the last 2 weeks, I've had probably the most miraculous 2 weeks of my life. And God, it's like I got born all over again. And I'm going to share with you next year, in January, February, because I'm putting it all together in my head and my heart, how to present it to you. And we're going to present it to the leadership and get everybody on the same page. But I want to start preparing you now that you would start asking God, God, I want to be used for a miracle, because he could do it today. So he's on his timetable. I have a timetable for how I'm going to try to not mess it up, but God can just blow you up whenever you want. But I want you to start thinking, God, I want you to use me for a miracle. There's some people who don't believe in miracles. Us praying and having a God in heaven hear us is a miracle to me. I don't want you to put a limit on what God can do in your life and through your life. And so I'm just going to start a little bit every week just preparing you to think about that. And when you're driving home, when you're home, just say, God, I want to use me. And if you hear him tell you to pray for someone who's sick, if you hear him tell you something that's going to happen in the future and it happens, I want you to trust him. Amen? Because some of you already know. Some of you already have things you want to pray for. Some of you have seen miracles and God has spoken to you. I want you to go for it. I want you to go for it. And so start of it, we're going to... We're going to start with some simple things today. I'm going to give you a very simple task to do today, and we're going to get through it. But we're getting to that point where you're going to do miracles, supernatural stuff, and you're going to have people say, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And you're going to go, that's right. That's how God works. The guy who's blind, Jesus, they said to him, who healed you? And he said, listen, I don't know. It was Jesus. That guy Jesus over there. And they go, what do you know about him? I don't know nothing. All I know is I was blind, now I see. And so I don't know how you're going to spin it. I just see now. And so I'm going to be praying for you, and I want you to pray for yourself. Lord, use me. I want you to use me for miracles, because that's what he wanted us. Jesus said, the things I did, I want you to do. Simple as that. The things I did, I want you to do. And I want you to believe that God wants you to do that. Okay? Lord, thank you so much. And we're on our knees. And I thank you for the people in North County. I thank you for the people in East County and the people watching online. And I pray you speak to them. I know there are people out there going, God has been saying this to me. God has been preparing me for this. You are ready right now. And I pray you would act on what God is telling you. Don't wait for me. You act on what God's telling you. And Lord, I pray that you use our church in a supernatural way, that you blow us up, and that you would blow up San Diego through us It's all about you. We are just a conduit. You put us here as your plan to bring hope to a city. So we want to be that. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into our life, into our midst. This is your service. You can do whatever you want to do. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's get up. Amen. When I was playing with the Chargers, we would watch film of everything we did every day. Everything except warm-ups, every drill, pretty much every drill, all the practices, and all the games, and every play. And if you messed up in a game, you knew the next day you were going to see it in film, and everyone's going to watch it, and either give you a high five or laugh at you, and you're going to get called out every single day. So one day we had played the Raiders, and we had one of our defensive backs who was a rookie. He was chasing after a tight end. Now, a defensive back, he's a cornerback. Every cornerback in the NFL is faster than just about every tight end. There's no way a cornerback should not be able to catch a tight end. And so this guy named Terry, he was running after this tight end on the Raiders, and he was kind of running, and he wasn't catching him. And the coach has got his little pointer out on the screen, and he goes, Terry, and they run it back and forth. So it's like you can't, it's not like the play is over. It just keeps repeating itself. So if you get like, if it's a bad play, you're going to see it over and over and over. One day I ran downfield, I was on the kickoff, and this guy came from over here. His name was Michael Jackson, by the way. And he was a stud, and I was about 180 pounds, which is exactly what I weigh now. I was the same weight. And he was like 230, 240, and he had run from, Tijuana all the way. And he put his helmet right here in my jaw and cracked teeth in the back of my mouth. I don't know how I didn't get knocked out. And I went up in the air, and the first thing that hit the ground was the back of my head. My legs were up here. And so you can imagine, he hits me, I go flying, I hit the ground, and as soon as I hit the ground, I jumped straight up, turned, and ran off the field. Like, it wasn't like, where's the guy with the ball? I'm like, I'm done, and I ran off the field. So, I didn't realize that till we were in the film, and he goes, and he points, everyone look at Miles. And I'm like, I knew I got hit bad, I knew it was ugly, but I didn't know about the run off the field part. And I'm in midair, and they're going, bam, 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 back and forth, bam, bam. And your mouthpiece only went, it didn't go all the way to the back, so the teeth in my back cracked, and I had these little pieces of teeth in my mouth. And he says, but here's why Miles is a very smart player. And then I just ran off the field. He said, yeah. So Terry was running. He's running. He's trying to catch this big guy. And the coach got his point and says, Terry, you're not catching. His name was Todd Christensen. He was a tight end. How come you can't catch him? There is no good answer to this question. And he says, Terry, are you running as fast as you can? Now, if Terry says no, why? Why are you not running as fast as you can? Why are you not putting out the best effort? And if Terry says yes, then he's too slow and he shouldn't be on the field. Because if he can't catch a tight end, he ain't going to stay with the wide receivers. They're a lot faster. So we're all sitting back going, what is Terry going to say? Because this is a really good question. Terry, are you running as fast as you can? The coach wants to know, are you being as aggressive as you can be? Because if you're not, you need not be on this team. Not on the field. Not even on the team. He didn't say that, but that's what he was saying. So, Terry, are you running as fast as you can? And we're all in the back. Terry, you run as fast as you can? Terry, you run as fast as you can? And Terry's like, what do I say? And he's running the tape back. Terry, you are not catching this guy. What is the problem? Are you running as fast as you can? Because there is no other thing you should be doing right now other than doing everything you can to catch this guy. He's got the ball. And Terry says, well, coach, I was hurt. And we're all like, man, you got out of that one. God wants to know, are we running as fast as we can? Are we being as aggressive as a church as we can. Aggressive? Yes. Aggressive. Offensive. I want to read a verse to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. It says, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? The Son of Man is himself. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. He was God and he was also man. Who do people say that I am? And by the way, before we get anywhere else, your whole relationship with God and everybody's relationship with God, whoever their God is based on the fact, or based on who they think Jesus is. In other words, if Jesus is just a guy, he's not God in the flesh. You're not a Christian. You're just a good person trying to be a good person following who you think is a good person. Jesus has to be God who died and rose from the dead, born of a virgin. Who do people say that I am? A prophet? No, you have to be Christ, the Messiah. Verse 14, they said, some say John the Baptist. That's not who he was. Others say Elijah. That's not who he was. Others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. No, better than all that. He said, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? Yes or no? He has to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said this, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then this is the verse I want to look at, verse 18. I tell you, Peter, upon this rock, this truth that I am the Christ, upon this rock I'll build my church. The church is built on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Christ. And upon this rock, rock church. That's not what he's talking about. That's one of the reasons why we call ourselves the rock church, because we stand on the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. There's many rocks in the Bible. We're going to get into it, but that's one of them. And then it says, I will build my church upon that truth. And then it says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to think about this. I always read that verse as we were defensive against the gates of hell. At the gates of hell was trying to beat us down. We're like, no, we're going to withstand it. And it's really the opposite. That a gate is a door. A gate is not all offensive. A gate is defensive. That the devil and hell have to be intimidated by the church, not the other way around. You have nothing to be scared of when it comes to spiritual warfare and the devil. That if you say Jesus is the Christ, that is our authority, the gate that we will, with that truth, come against the works of the devil. So God says to you, are you being aggressive? Are you running as fast as you can? Are you doing everything you can to advance the kingdom of God? Because remember, we started a series last week called The Plan, that God saw a world that was hopeless and helpless. And he said, my plan is to create a church. And my church is my only plan. And I'm going to use the church to bring hope to the world. And the gates of hell cannot withstand my church. And if my church trusts my word and live my word and they believe in the supernatural and they walk by faith, the gates of hell can't stop us. We don't believe that though. We go to church, kind of hide. We hide our Christianity. We've got our Bible at home and we don't hardly ever bring it out. Some of us don't even bring it to church because we don't want to be seen walking down the street to church with a Bible. And God says, no. Upon my rock, I will build the truth that Jesus is the Christ. He died and rose from the dead, and all authority has been given to him, and he has given you and I that authority, and not even hell, not even the devil can overcome that. We are going to overcome him. So the question is, are you running as fast as you can? Are you doing everything you can? Now, for the next 5 weeks, including this week, we want to share with you what we as a church are doing to run as fast as we can. And we're going to challenge you to be involved because we can't do it unless we do it. We is we. All of us in this room, all those in North County, in East County, sitting in the seat, it is you. All of us together to bring hope to San Diego. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Not Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Most companies and churches have a mission statement. and a vision statement. And those statements describe their mission and vision. Your mission is your business. What business are you in? The Padres, the Chargers, the Lakers are in the entertainment business. Sports is entertainment. It's a business, but it's entertainment. McDonald's, In-N-Out are in the food business. Okay? Apple, Google, they're in a technology business. We are in the disciple-making business. That's our business. And we need to know what business we're in. We're not into the church having business. This is just part of the disciple-making process. But we're in the disciple-making business. And so we're going to read a statement that Jesus is going to tell us what our business is. The church's business is not our option. We were created by Christ. He gave us our mission, our business. Look what it says in chapter 28, verse 18. It says, Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, and by the way, I'm going to give it to you. You have all the authority in heaven. All the authority in heaven. And the only reason you don't exercise it is because you don't believe you have it. But you have it. It says, and we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. The verse 19, go therefore, everybody say, take a deep breath in. Say go.
Go.
Go. Go. Don't sit. Don't praise the Lord. Only. Go. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. That is your business. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, go. I got all authority back from the devil. I'm giving it to you. Go. Everyone say go.
Go.
Now, our mission statement encapsulates the command from Jesus Christ. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. Our mission statement is three words. Save, equip, send. Everyone say save.
Save.
Oh, we want to hear you in East County, North County. Say save.
Save.
Say equip.
Equip.
Say send.
Save.
Very good. You got to get saved first. Then you get equipped, and that's equipping process takes the rest of your life, and then you get sent, which is an engagement of the world and ministry for the rest of your life. I got saved. I recommitted and committed my life to the Lord once and for all when I was 24, and then I immediately got into a small group. We call it a home fellowship back then, where there was two of them. I had one with four people, where one guy discipled three of us on a Tuesday, which was the NFL's day off, and then on what? What was that funny? What's so funny? Okay, I didn't want to. What did I say? Huh? Yeah, it was our day off. It was our day off. Is that, okay, so we played a game on Sunday, went to film on Monday. On Tuesday, we had a day off. So we had discipleship on that day. On Wednesday, we had practice, and it's Wednesday night, we had Bible study with about 10 to 15 guys on the team and wives and girlfriends. That was everything to us, to me, for grow. We had accountability. You can go to church, but you need accountability. You can go to church, you need relationship. You need discipleship. This will never feed you everything you need ever. It is not designed to. You can hide in the church, or you can complain it's too big. We have small groups. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Today, I want to challenge you to get involved in community groups. That's what we're going to do today. Because that's going to be part of this bigger picture of we're talking about the miracle, because we want to blow up San Diego in a minute. Disciple making. Okay? So he says, go. Say go.
Go.
Say save.
Save.
Say equip.
Equip.
Say send.
Send.
Okay, that's our mission. That's our business. Save, equip, send. Blocking and tackling. Hitting, bunting. Throwing a ball, catching a ball. Basics. Save, equip, send. Save, equip, send. Say it with me. Say save.
Save.
One more time. Get it. One more time.
Save, quit,
uno mas.
Save, quit,
okay, great. Here we go. That's our mission, our business. So the question is, are you in the family business? Or are you watching the family business? Sitting in this room doesn't mean you're part of the family business. It means that you're observing, and at the least. Are you saving, helping people get saved? Are you being discipled? Are you discipling? Are you being sent out? That's the church Jesus set up. Now, people call it different things, win, build, send, whatever it is, but it's all the same. You got to get saved, you get equipped, and you get sent out. That's walking with God, period. Then vision, turn to Acts, five books to the back, chapter 1, Acts 1. A vision is a picture of your preferred future. Ladies, I'll start with the guys so you don't think I'm picking on you. Fellas, you are 240 pounds. You have a 23% body fat. And you want to get down to 190 with a 6% body fat. You want to get your six pack. You want to take the keg and turn it into a six pack. So you close your eyes. That's a laugh. I like that. You close your eyes and you imagine pop, 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 pop. And then you get a magazine, you cut a picture out of that guy in his whatever he's got on, he's ripped, you put it on the wall. That's a vision. That's a picture of my preferred future. When I think of me in the future, that's what I want. That's a vision. When I think of where I want to live in the future, I want to live in this house, this condo. I want to have this kind of car. I want to have this kind of woman, this kind of man, whatever it is. That's a vision, a picture of your preferred future. Ladies, you go by a dress store and you see a dress that you like, but you can't fit in. So you have a vision of being able to fit in the dress. Whatever that means to you, and I'm not looking at any woman in particular right now. Y'all know how people can be.
He was looking at me. I'm not going back to that church. He was looking at me.
I am not. I'm looking at the ceiling. If there's a lady up there, then you're guilty. I'm not looking at the ceiling. So you say, I want to fit in that dress, and then you say, I want to fit in that dress for 5 years, not just for one day that I'm going to wear it at this party. That's a vision, a picture of your preferred future. What is Jesus' vision of the church? Where we haven't gotten to yet. Acts 1:8, look what it says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everyone say power.
Power.
Oh, yeah, you got to say power with power. Take a deep breath in. North County, East County, say power.
Power.
That's right. You can't say, you ever talk to somebody and tell a joke and they go, oh, that was so funny. It's hilarious. But they never laugh. You can't say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem where you live, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Concentric circles around where you live, basically everywhere. Everybody say everywhere.
Everywhere.
Our vision statement here at The Rock is pervasive hope. You ever see Miss America contest? What is your vision for the world? What is your dream? Well, I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you what I've seen it on TV. I believe in world peace. Now, from what I was told years ago, I don't know if it's still true. I assume it's true, and I hope it's true. World peace is the vision statement of the U.S. military. Awesome. So we said we want to have a vision statement that's real simple like that. And we're going to take it out of Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, everywhere. Pervasive hope. I don't know if when you were a little kid you would leave the hose on in a hot day in the grass. You ever do that? Take the hose and just flood the whole lawn until the water was as high as the grass. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. And then you would kind of like a slide across it or just make a mess. The water went between all the blades of grass. Imagine all those blades of grass are buildings, houses, and all the places, the streets and alleys and walkways, and that's where hope is everywhere. Pervasive hope. Jesus says, I want you to take the gospel everywhere. Okay? So we said, okay, God, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go as fast as we can. We're going to do as, you know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So here's what God says to me. He says, Miles, for this period of time, you're the pastor of that church. Okay? So I'm giving you all those people so you can fulfill my vision. No other reason. Okay. What do you want to do? So he's going to show you. I got 7 slides for you. Give your attention to the screen. Number one, there's 3.1 million people in San Diego. Okay? There are 1 in 4 people. There's over 10,000 homeless in San Diego. 130,000 San Diegans out of work. 431 violent crimes. That's right here in the city. 3,600 aggravated assaults, 313 rapes a year, 70,000 reported child abuse a year, 7,600 people arrested for drug charges, 58 DUIs annually, right? That's just a little snippet of the pain in our city. Are you following me on this? Everywhere you go when you drive, you are driving past pain. And people are crying out to God for help. And God is saying, I put my church down there to provide the help. So I want you to imagine this. All these people are crying out to help. And if you look in the Bible, when people cry out to God, God will respond by sending one of his people. So God said, the whole world's crying out. I'm putting the church down there to meet the need. That is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose you're here. The purpose we have this. Is so people can get help. Okay? So today, 2013, we have 3 campuses, and we also have 786 small groups in this church, all over the county. 700. How many of y'all knew that, by the way? How many of you do know that? You didn't know that. 700. How many of you, by a show of hands, are not in a community group at this church? Raise your hand real high, real high, real high. Keep your hand up real high, and now look around the room, look around the room. Look at all y'all firepower that we have yet to engage. And here's what God's saying. God's saying, you're not running as fast as you can. You may be doing this. Now, last year we did $4 million of volunteer service in addition to a bunch of other stuff we did that wasn't even counted in that, and all y'all aren't in a group. You come, and probably a lot of y'all come here regularly, semi-regularly. Some of y'all are engaged in other things. Some of you are not. Some of you give. Some of you don't. And so we're not firing all cylinders. But if you're part of the church, I just want to let you know why we're here, okay? In 2020, our vision, as we call our 2020 vision, is to have 10 campuses. We have three now. Our vision is to have 10 campuses. Amen, amen. And 2,400 small groups. Boom. Oh! Now, listen. I'm starting to march. I mean, I'm getting excited. I'm marching. We have this now guidelines where we want all our small group, all our community groups to do 3 outreaches a year. Now, if you have 2,400 doing 3 outreaches a year, that's almost 7,500 outreaches. Do you know how much firepower that is? Now, that'll never happen if people don't get engaged. We're just dreaming. We're just talking. It'll never happen if people don't give financially. We're just talking. Because it's not something we're going to do. It's something we're going to do. It's something you have to say, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do if this is the church you want me to be in? Now, maybe you go to another church. Well, go to that church and do what God's called that church to do. But what I would discourage you to do is being in between. In other words, I'm not committed to anything. It's to be saying, no, Lord, I am going to do what you want me to do. Okay? So we want to have 10 campuses. By the way, I'll get to that in a minute. We want to have 10 campuses. And the only way we can do that is if people say, I'm in. I was at a, in the last 10 days or week, I've had 3 or 4 people from 3 or 4 different cities say to me, can you bring a rock church to our city? New York, Daytona Beach, Florida, where I was just at, And where were we before that? Springfield, Missouri. I'm sorry, I've been to like 20 cities in the last month. So, those three places. And I said, hey, people. Rick Warren from Saddleback just started a church in Hong Kong, 800 people, via video. Hong Kong, they're going to Brazil and all these different countries. Why? People. Or we can just say, oh, this is just about us, and you know, I just want to keep it. No. There are people going to hell. The only reason we do all this, and we work day and night and kill ourselves. We have a staff of 250 people, and they work like dogs. The only reason is because God has called us to help people. But to equip you to help them, that's our job, is to help you help them. It's Home Depot. It's not that you can have it your way. It's that you can do it and we can help. For reals. That's the kingdom. Okay? Why? What did Jesus do? Jesus told his disciples, you see me doing it? Now you go do it. And then you teach others to do it, and you teach others to do it. That's how it works. Okay? So, we want to have 10 sites and 2,400 small groups by 2020. And now, just in case you're thinking this, why so many? Why is it got to be so big? Why can't we just have what we have? Come on. Well, I'll give you a couple of reasons. One, we can. Because we can. And number two, there are people who need help. There's people who need help. Last week we had communion, and we started this whole series off by having communion because we wanted to send the message that Jesus said, when you think of me, do this in remembrance of me. When you think of me, I want you to think of someone who is suffering on behalf of other people. And if we surrender ourselves to God, he will use us to reach people way beyond what we can think. By the way, 2,400 small groups in 10 sites, that's just a portion of what you're going to learn over the next month of what we got planned. A portion. And by the way, it's a small portion. There's even things that are going to reach way more people than that. Because we can, because God, it's like the $6 million man. We can rebuild him. Well, maybe y'all don't know who that is. How many of you do not know who the $6 million man is? Raise your hand. Shut up! Shut up! Okay, there was a show where this guy, he got in some accident, he almost died, and they said, we can rebuild him, and they spent $6 million to rebuild him and make him back, but he was half robot and half human, and he was, you know, he could do all these amazing things, so he was a $6 million man. They put $6 million of technology in him. Okay. All these movies you watch of Thor and all these movies of people doing stuff that humans can't do, it's the same thing. It's the same fantasy stuff. We can do it, though. So, 2014, all we got to do is one more site, south of the 94. We're going to do one more site next year is the goal, and 1,400 groups total. That means about 600 more. By the way, yesterday we started 47 more small groups. Community groups, and I think tomorrow's 15 more. Amen. What does that mean? Is that someone said, you know what? I want to go from being in the crowd to being part of the army. I want to get in a group, and I'm going to get accountable to people. We're going to meet on a weekly basis, however they meet, and we're going to grow together. We're going to learn together. We're going to build relationships and become accountable, and I am going to grow. You will grow faster and better and more biblically in a community of people than if you're not. Period. That's why God set it up. That's the way he set it up. That's how it works. God created us to be relational people. And so in a minute, we're going to challenge you. You can go online. You can sign up for a group. You could open your house. You can be a leader of a group. We'll train you to that. But we want all of you to be in groups. Now, and then we want you to bring new people and get them in groups. Because what happens is, imagine if we had 2,400 groups. Forget that. We got over 800 now since this slide was made. And we got more. Saying, let's all go this month and feed one homeless person. Technically, we could feed every single homeless person. In the whole city, in the whole county. Just like that. let's all go adopt a police station. There's only 9 divisions. Well, then we got the whole county. You got sheriffs, so there's a bunch. A police station, sheriff station, fire station. We can do the whole county just like that. Just like that. We can go on. Adopt a school just like that. A park just like that. The whole county. That is firepower. Or we could say, you know, we don't really help anybody. We just want to come to church and laugh and let Miles entertain us for an hour. We don't want to do that. We want to go help people. Can I get an amen? All y'all said, I want to be used for a miracle. I asked you 4 times or 3 times. I want to be used. I want to be supernatural. I believe God for a miracle. Okay. Go to a community group. I asked last week, I told you last week we had a financial need because we were expanding, but we got to have the money keep up with what we're trying to do. We had pledges, and the pledges for our Pervasive Hope campaign is falling a little bit behind, but we're moving ahead of what we said we're going to do with the money. So we encourage you, if you're part of the church, tithe, just like the Bible says. And then if you made a pledge for an offering over and above that, give it. That's what the Bible says. We had $20 million of pledges. We've only collected $9 million. Okay? We're going, and we're praying. We're going and praying. Got opportunity. Got to get the money. Got to get the people. It's all of us doing it together. But remember the big picture. Jesus said, go. Don't be just cruising. Oh, you're a big church. Everything's good. No. Because when I stand before God, let me tell you something. When I stand before God, I don't want God to say, brother, you were cruising. No, he ain't saying that to me. I was discipling this pastor. I was a disciple. We met a few times, and I was trying to give him advice. And he said to me one day, he says, when I get 300 people, I just want to get the 300 people, because then I could put it on cruise control like you. I was like, what? Say what? Cruise control? To whom much is given, much is required. All of y'all have this. So God's going to hold you accountable. Say, so you went to the rock. Here's what he's going to say to you. You went to the rock. And I'm not trying to threaten you or scare you, but if you're getting threatened and scared, that's good. Here's what he's saying. He says, so you went to the rock. This is dramatization. Jesus, who was the pastor? Oh, Miles. Oh, okay. I gave that brother a big mouth. I gave him a lot of stamina. I gave him a lot of vision. He was a workaholic. He kind of went beyond what I told him, but he's a workaholic. So I know you hurt. So tell me what happened. Why weren't you running full speed? Well, I was hurt, God. Oh, no, it ain't going to work. He's going to say, let me tell you why. You got to do what God tells you to do, but I'm telling you what the Bible says to do. So I want to encourage you. In a minute, I'm going to pray, and the campus is going to go. You're going to handle your business at your campus, and then we're going to have a little time here alone. But I want to challenge y'all in East County, North County. We got work to do. We got people to help. God has need of us. When Jesus told his disciples, go get the donkey because he wanted to ride on it, he says, go tell the owner of the donkey, I have need of the donkey. We are the donkey. God has need of us. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray we can be faithful with what you have given us. I pray we can be faithful to serve you. Step number one is that we would just get in a group and become accountable and become part of the fabric of this church. And that we can all join hands and lock arms together to bring hope to our city and the world. I pray that you move on people's hearts. Some you need to convict because they've been slacking, cutting corners, hiding. Lord, we are going to be held accountable to you as a group and as individuals. May we be able to stand before you and say, we ran as fast as we could, We worked as hard as we could. We prayed as much as we could. We were obedient. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to have the pastoral support team come here. Let me tell you this last story, or two, or three. When a little kid is born, a baby's head is one-third of its weight. That's one of the reasons babies are so cute, because their head is one-third of their body, and their eyes are really spaced far apart. It's true. Next time you see a baby, check out the head. Don't be obvious like this. Just kind of do it on the sly. Because when you realize how big the head is, you're going to go, oh, dang. But you don't want to be looking right at the baby when you see it. But that's really what makes them so cute. Imagine if your head was one-third of your weight. National Geographic would be at your house. My son, my wife and I's son, he's going to be 25. He's a police officer here in San Diego. And when he was born, his head was like 47% of his weight. It was ginormous. And we used to always tell him, Miles, use your head. Not like a weapon, but use your brains, because you have more brains than the average child because your head is so colossal. And he would run, and when he was playing soccer, he would play, like when he was 5 or 6 years old, he'd play outdoor soccer in a little rink, and he would run, and he would literally point to his head. It was like this. Dad, look at, I'm using my head. I'm using my head. And he would tap his head. His head was like this big. He would tap it. He would say, you remember that, Debbie? Look at, I'm using my head, running down, kicking the ball. I'm using my head. Look at me, Dad. You know what, God? We should be able to tell God every day, God, look at us. Daddy, look at us. Look what we're doing. Not to brag, because we're talking to God. We're not talking to other people. God, we're being obedient. You want to be that kind of person. We want to be that kind of church. We want to be that kind of church. Amen? We don't want to be another. So step number one, you want to perform miracles? Step number one is two things I'm going to tell you. One, go sign up for a community group. You can go online, you can go out in the lobby, get information, start one at your house. We got 600 to go by next year, the end of next year. But more than that, get involved in a community where you're going to grow. You are not going to grow as much as you can just coming here. That is not the purpose of this. It's impossible. Okay? We got it. Other ministries, Impact, men's ministry, women's ministry, they're all small groups. Go. Number two, I want to challenge you to bring someone next Sunday. Not invite. Get them here. What does that mean? That means you got to put yourself out there by faith and risk yourself. You want to perform a miracle? You're going to have to risk. Okay? Are you hearing me? Say community group. Say, get someone to come next week. Now, there are a few seats up there empty, a whole section up there empty. We pay the same money in lights, air conditioning, whether those seats are empty or not. It's a stewardship thing. You got an empty seat next to you, that seat should be filled. Fill it up. Why? People. Again, if you think we're trying to be big, I would love for the whole city to be here. Yes, 3 million people in one place. In 20 services. Yes, absolutely. Why not? We want to get the gospel to all of them. Absolutely. So let's put it out there. We want to get as many people as we can. All you got to do is start with one. Go find somebody. You have friends. You talk on the phone. You text. You tweet. You cheek. You Google. You do all that stuff all week long. I know, cheek. I don't know what that was. I was making stuff up. You got 7 days. To do that, can you and God find one person who he would bring to church to receive a message of hope? I would hope so. I would hope so. Lord, I pray for the Rock Church, and I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. We invite you into our lives. And Lord, you saw the hands of people who want to perform miracles. I pray you would speak to them this week. They would cry out to you this week and say, Lord, use me. Use me for something supernatural. I don't want the same old Christianity. I want the Christianity that's in the Bible. I want to do what you did. I pray we just, like children, we believe what your word says. Like children, we believe what the word says. And I pray you would use people. And I pray they would start at least by prayerfully inviting and getting someone to come next week. Lord, may it be someone they never thought would ever say yes. Put someone in their path. In Jesus' name, in the nome de Jesus, amen. We have pastoral support team. If you want prayer, go out and sign up online. God bless y'all. God bless y'all.